from Luke chapter 9, starting at verse 37. This is headed the healing of the boy with an evil spirit. The next day, when they came down from the mountain, a large crowd met him. A man in the crowd called out, "Teacher, I beg you to look at my son, for he is my only child." A spirit seizes him and he suddenly screams. It throws him into convulsions so that he foams at the mouth. It scarcely ever leaves him and is destroying him. "I begged your disciples to drive it out, but they could not." "Oh, unbelieving, perverse generation," Jesus replied, "how long shall I stay with you and put up with you? Bring your son here." Even while the boy was coming, the demon threw him to the ground in a convulsion. But Jesus rebuked the evil spirit, healed the boy, and gave him back to his father. And they were all amazed at the greatness of God. While everyone was marveling at all this Jesus did, he said to his disciples, "Listen carefully to what I am about to tell you. The Son of Man is going to be betrayed at the hands of men." But they did not understand what this meant. It was hidden from them, so that they did not grasp it, and they were afraid to ask him about it.
Please leave your Bibles open there at Luke chapter 9. Let's pray. Father God, we pray that you would soften our hearts, that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see. Lord, we pray that your Holy Spirit would so speak into our hearts this morning that it would drown out all our worries, concerns and fears from the week. Lord, we pray that we would hear you this morning, that we would find our strength in you, that our hope would be in the joy that we have through Christ Jesus. And we pray this in his name. Amen. Well, there are many things that can cause us to become overwhelmed about our circumstances. Sometimes a simple phrase can be all that it takes for us to feel utterly overwhelmed. Now, one such phrase that I'm sure we're all familiar with is that Christmas is only a few weeks away. It's quite common for us all to feel a little bit overwhelmed this time of year. Harvest is in full swing, and when they're able to, headers are running day and night. And while all this is going on, Christmas is rapidly approaching. Christmas lights will soon be going up. Presents need to be bought. Preparations need to be made for friends and family who are coming to stay. And if we're going away ourselves, well, we'll need to make preparations for that as well. And on top of all of this, of all those kinds of worries and concerns, we have to deal with the day-to-day things that are competing for our attention. Sometimes it can feel as though that there are so many things going on that we have no idea how we're going to deal with it all. And in those times, well, we can start to feel really overwhelmed by the circumstances that we're in. Yeah. And we can start to allow our circumstances to stand between us and God. Now, the famous pastor F.B. Meyer once wrote these very wise and insightful words: "Unbelief puts our circumstances between us and God, but faith puts God between us and our circumstances." I'll read that again. "Unbelief puts our circumstances between us and God, but faith puts God between us and our circumstances." Well, in this morning's passage, we'll be looking at a time when the disciples had allowed themselves to become overwhelmed by their circumstances, when they allowed the problem that was in front of them to get between them and God, as they allowed their feelings of inadequacy to cause them to lose sight of Christ's sufficiency. And so as we look at this morning's passage and reflect on yet another time when the disciples failed to trust Jesus, we do so remembering that we also have times when we fail to trust Jesus. And we do just the same thing. When we become overwhelmed by our circumstances and lose sight of Christ's sufficiency. And so as we look at these verses, well, may we say along with the boy's father, Lord, I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief. As this passage begins, Jesus, Peter, James and John had just made their way down the mountain. Just the day before, these three disciples had seen Jesus in all of his glory. But as they returned and joined the other nine disciples who were waiting at the bottom of the mountain, they were met by a large crowd. And in the midst of that crowd, there was a man who was calling out to Jesus. You can imagine there would have been all sorts of mutterings, lots of voices going on in this crowd, people shuffling and trying to get closer to Jesus. But somehow this man managed to shout out as loud as he could and get Jesus' attention. And as Jesus turned to see what he was saying, the man cried out, Teacher, I beg you to look at my son, for he is my only child. The spirit seizes him and he screams, suddenly screams. It throws him into convulsions so that he foams at the mouth. It scarcely ever leaves him. It is destroying him. I begged your disciples to drive it out, but they could not. The father is pleading with Jesus to heal his son. You can almost hear his sense of desperation in those moments. The father is pleading for the very life of his only son. The Gospel of Matthew tells us that this demon had caused this child to be thrown into the fire on many occasions and into the water. It was threatening this child's life, not to mention that it was causing him all sorts of great pain and discomfort. His father had already gone and approached the disciples and asked them to heal his boy, but they could not. And so in utter desperation, the father is crying out, begging Jesus to heal his son. And what Jesus says next is astonishing. It is incredibly surprising. It would have surprised everyone in the crowd. Jesus replied, Oh, you unbelieving and perverse generation, how long shall I stay with you and put up with you? It's clear from Jesus' words here that he was really upset by the fact that his disciples still didn't have enough faith to do what he was calling them to do. Jesus was sad. He was disappointed. Not because his disciples didn't have enough skill of their own or some special ability, but because they weren't trusting in the power of Jesus to heal and to save. The father had already publicly shamed the disciples as he told their master that they were not able to heal his boy. And now Jesus was publicly expressing his disappointment. You can only imagine how small the disciples must have felt at that moment. But Jesus wasn't just expressing his disappointment with them, but with all of that generation, with everyone who did not have the faith to trust in Jesus' authority to heal and to save. The Gospel of Matthew tells us that after this incident, when the disciples finally got a time when they could talk to Jesus privately, they went to him and asked, Why couldn't we drive it out? To which Jesus replied, Because you have so little faith. I tell you the truth, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, remember that a mustard seed is one of the smallest seeds, you can say to this mountain, Move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you. When the father had brought his son to the disciples, all they could see was the seriousness of this boy's condition. They were overwhelmed by their circumstances, and they had allowed their circumstances to get between them and God. The Gospel of Mark tells us that the boy's father asked Jesus, "If you can do anything, take pity on us and help us." To which Jesus replied, "Everything is possible for him who believes." And immediately, the boy's father said these very well-known words. He said, "I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief." The boy's father was recognizing that he needed Jesus' help even to believe. Rather than despairing in that moment, he pleaded with Jesus for the faith that he needed for this miracle to take place. And as the boy's father trusted Jesus for this miracle, Jesus rebuked the evil spirit, and the boy was fully restored. And all who saw it were utterly amazed. I think the ESV captures this well. Says that they were astonished at the majesty of God. Astonished at the majesty of God. While the crowd was still marveling at what Jesus had done, Jesus turned to his disciples, who must have been somewhere very close, gathered around him, and said, "Listen carefully to what I'm about to tell you. The Son of Man is going to be betrayed into the hands of men." These words reveal that the disciples still must have been questioning what Jesus had told them about 9 days earlier, when he had told them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests and the teachers of the law. And he must be killed and on the third day raised to life again. Now, if you remember back there, Peter pulled Jesus aside and rebuked him for those words. They were utterly shocked by his words. But even after having this 9 days to think about it, they still seem to be thinking about Jesus' kingdom in earthly terms. But now, as Jesus hits them with this reality all over again, well, says that they were too afraid to ask him what these words meant. In the Gospel of Matthew, we're told that after Jesus had said these words, they were filled with grief. Filled with grief. So they clearly understood what Jesus was saying. It was not hidden from them, so they could not understand it completely. They understood that this reality could not be escaped. But it was starting to cause them grief because they were beginning to realize that Jesus' destiny would have serious implications for their lives as well. In this morning's passage, we've seen how the disciples had become overwhelmed by their circumstances and how they had allowed their circumstances to come between them and God. As believers, we can become so afraid or overwhelmed by our circumstances that we lose sight of the hope that we have in Christ Jesus. We can fall into the trap of what's sometimes called practical atheism. I probably don't need to explain to anyone that atheism is, of course, the belief that there is no God. And so when people who believe in Jesus fall into the trap of falling into despair, giving into fear, or being so overwhelmed that they believe that there is no hope, they fall into the trap of practically acting atheistic. That is, living and making decisions, getting their priorities, treating their priorities like they don't believe in a sovereign God and the hope that we have in his Son. And for those of us who are half empty glass sort of people, this is a particularly real danger. It's easy for us to give in to despair as we are faced with circumstances that are beyond our control. It's easy for us to give in to unbelief and to allow our circumstances to sit between us and God, thinking that our problem is too big or that God doesn't care enough, rather than living by faith and not by sight. Jesus lamented the unbelief of his disciples. He lamented their lack of faith because it made him sad to think that after everything that they had seen and heard and experienced, after all of the incredible things that God had done for them to see, they were still struggling to believe. After the crucifixion, the disciples would be scattered and Peter would deny Jesus 3 times. And like them, in our own strength, we too are weak and frail. In our own strength, we too find it hard to keep trusting Jesus. Does he really have this situation under control? Is this really for his glory and for my best? Has Jesus' death and resurrection really guaranteed my hope of heaven? But in his strength, in his power, in the power of his Holy Spirit, our weak and frail faith is made strong. The boy's father declared, "I do believe, help me overcome my unbelief." And when he cried out those words, he was acknowledging that faith comes from the Lord, that he is weak, but Jesus is strong. We get overwhelmed. We give in to fear, but in his strength, we can be strong. Jesus gave this boy's father the faith to believe that his son would be healed. And he gave the disciples faith to believe and to act boldly for him at the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit was poured out in power on those who trust in Jesus. Before the day of Pentecost, well, let's be honest, the disciples were wimps. But after the day of Pentecost, power came upon them. And the same Peter who had denied Jesus 3 times publicly proclaimed the glory of the good news of Jesus to all who would listen, people from every tribe and tongue and nation in that area. Now, I'm not suggesting that since receiving the Holy Spirit, the disciples never experienced any types of doubt. And I'm not suggesting that the way the disciples received the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost is exactly the same way we do when we come to Christ. But what I am saying, and what this morning's passage is showing us, is that faith comes from the Lord. Christ not only became man and lived the perfect life that none of us were capable of living, he not only willingly went to the cross and suffered our guilt and shame and rose again 3 days later, he also continues to give us the faith that we need to go on believing, to keep trusting in him. We are weak, but he is strong. We get overwhelmed by our circumstances and we lose sight of his glory. But even though we do, even though we are unfaithful, forgetful, frail and weak, he is strong and he is faithful. There are all sorts of reasons why we might be feeling overwhelmed this morning. As I said, Christmas is just around the corner. We are in the middle of harvest. But there are any number of other reasons why we might be feeling overwhelmed. This morning's passage is telling us that we do not need to carry these burdens in our own strength. In this morning's passage, we saw a father carrying the incredible burden of a son who was demon-possessed, a condition that was out of his control. It would have been heartbreaking as he watched his son being hurt and injured, completely debilitated by this condition. It would have been easy for him to fall into utter despair. He could have let his circumstances, the discouragement that he'd received from the disciples when they weren't able to cast this demon out. He could have let that stop him and drive him into complete despair. But in the midst of his pain and suffering, he took his worries and his burdens to Jesus. And he asked Jesus to grow a faith in him. And like this boy's father, we too are being reminded this morning to hand our worries and our burdens over to Jesus. And like this boy's father, to declare, "I do believe, help me overcome my unbelief." So as we reflect on the words of this passage this morning, may our circumstances drive us to Jesus and not away from him. May we give him all the glory and honor and praise that is due his name, for he is faithful. We are weak, but he is strong. Let's pray. Father God, our refuge, our help, our ever-present help in times of need. Lord, we thank you for the mercy that you have shown us through Christ Jesus, a mercy that is new every day. Lord, we all recognize that we so often get distracted by our lives, get overwhelmed by our circumstances. We so often lose sight of your glory. Lord, we pray, we do believe. Help us overcome our unbelief. Lord, grow in each of us a strong faith, a great dependence on the hope we have in Christ Jesus. And Lord, we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.